Rashi explains that by Eshes Loit, the reason why she was punished when she looked back should be by Vatina Tziv Melach. So Rashi famously explains that she had been very stingy with the guests. She did not want Loit giving her guests salt. And therefore, Mida, she was punished with salt. The Kli Yakar adds that we find that with Loit, after he heard that Sodom would be destroyed, he was very concerned with his money. He stayed the whole night. He was trying to get to sell off his assets, to gather together whatever he could, until the Malachim finally grabbed him and threw them out of Sodom and said that you can't wait any longer, and they fled without their assets. Zakat Kli Yakar, if a person is trying to save his assets, he's trying to save his money, that's very understandable. Money is a very powerful tool. It enables a person to provide for himself, for his family, to be oivet Hashem, to be oisik in mitzvahs, and to give tzedakah. But the Eishes Loit that had been so stingy, that she had shown that the money that she had, the assets that she was blessed with, she was not willing to share. She was keeping it for herself. So for her to be concerned with the money, for her to be looking back and to be worried and to be concerned with her money, that was a kitrug. Because if your money is not being used for chesed, it's not being used for tzedakah, then what's the point of the money? And that is why she was punished. Kli Yakar adds that the salt has an extra level of symbolism. The Gemara in Ksuvos Daf Samaches writes that Melech Mamoin Choser, that the way to salt money, what does it mean to salt money? So in the olden days, or perhaps today, before they had refrigerators or freezers, the way they preserved meat is they would salt it. So Melech Mamoin, if a person wants to salt his money, if he needs a way to preserve, if he wants to preserve the money, the way to do that is choser, is to mechaser your money, to take of your money and give it to other people, to give tzedakah, to be oisik in chesed. And that is how to preserve the money. So that was why the Eishes Loit, that refused to do the chesed, refused to give to tzedakah with her money, and yet was concerned with it, she was punished with salt to show that the true way to preserve the person's wealth, the true way to protect their assets in the time of Charoinaf, is chaser, is chesed, is to do the tzedakah, and to mekayim the mitzvahs with your money. Now last week we went through many of the halachos of Dei Machzorah, and to very quickly review, what we learned is that the chiv of tzedakah is not simply to keep the ani alive, to give him his basic requirements. The chiv is Dei Machzorah asher yechzar loy, to give him what he is lacking. Sometimes it's money, and as Gemara explains, even if he needs to get married, you have to pay for the wedding, rent him a house, etc. So an interesting shot is, how do we learn from Asher Yechzar Loi that means to help him get married? So shot is that we know that Mishi Yeshlei Mona writes a Messiah. Someone wants 100. He has 100. He wants 200. If he has 200, he wants 400. So whatever you give him in Gashmias, he always wants more. So the question is, how do you have every Makayim Dei Machzorah Asher Yechzar Loi? He always wants whatever you give him. Will always want more. So I saw an interesting try. He said that's how the Gemara knew they were talking about a wife, because if you marry someone off, most people one wife is more than enough. So that's the one case you can have Dei Machzorah Asher Yechzar Loi. Now, as we saw in the Gemara, Asher Yechzar Loi doesn't have to be an actual physical need. We saw that even if someone is an ani ben toivim, if he needs meat, that's what he's accustomed to, that's his minhag, then that is Asher Yechzar Loi. That would be his Dei Machzorah, and your obligation would be to give him whatever he needs. The Gemara adds that Hillel one, there was an usher who needed a kavod, he needed a stallion to ride on, he needed an eved to run in front of him. And for him, that was the Dei Machzorah Asher Yechzar Loi. That being said, there were limitations to this halacha. We saw that there's a chi of Dei Machzorah, but not to make him into an usher. And to that end, the Rashba said you only have to give him his immediate needs. He can't demand that you take care of his needs, to set up a retirement account for him. He also can only demand what he was accustomed to, whatever he was able to afford when he was an usher. But if an ani one day decides he had enough of living b'dachkos, He always wanted to drive a Lexus. He wants to upgrade his lifestyle. That would not be day machzoyroi. That's together making him into an usher. The obligation is only what he was used to and what he actually needs. On top of that, we saw that the Gemara had a case where a person had these fancy tablecloths that there the Gemara calls him a Ramai, because the way Tosis explains, a tablecloth is not a need. It may be something that people want. It may be something that people appreciate, but it's not called day machzoyroi. Others add the problem is that he had two. It's one thing for day machzoyroi that you need one. You need a particular item. That's what you need. That's your chasaron. But to need one, once you have multiples, you have gold ones and silver ones, that already is excessive, and that already has the din of a ramai. Then Yoina added that because the tablecloth, these fancy tablecloths, were something that only 1 in 1,000 people need, it was something extreme. That's why you can presume that the person is a ramai. Now let's deal now with a few common cases that come up. I think the question that everyone always asks is that people come around collecting for Achnosos Kala, and they're buying an apartment for their, they want to buy an apartment for their daughter, for their Edom. Is that Nichlal in the Chiyuv of Dei Machzor? So over here there are a few ideas, a few concepts that we have to deal with. The first is, as it's clear, and Shevet HaLevi's Medayi from the Gemara clearly says that if you have a Yosam or a Yosam that needs to get married, so you rent for them a house. The Gemara says you rent a house for them. You don't buy it for them. So Shevet HaLevi explains, as we said before, the chiyuv is to give them achzara. You need shelter. You have to give them shelter. But to buy it for them, to give it to them as a present, that there is no chiyuv, and that's why we only seicher for them, we only rent it for them, they have no claim to buy it. Now that being said, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, when it talks about a horse, and it talks about an eved, there it says that you're, the lashon of the Mechaber in Siman Reish Nun, the halacha is that you buy it for him. Koina loisos ve'eved. There you buy it for him. So by a house, we're talking about we rent it for him. By a sus and by an eved, we buy it for him. So the Shulchan Aruch doesn't explain what the chiluk is, but presumably you couldn't rent a slave. There was no, you know, it wasn't very practical to do it. Or it was, now horses, it's clear from the Gemara, people did occasionally rent horses, but I guess it wasn't practical to do it. The same way we can imagine if someone today needs a car, you're not going to tell him to rent a car or take a car service wherever he goes. It'll end up being much more expensive and it doesn't make sense. So you do whatever is most cost effective for tzedakah. If you can rent, if it's cheaper to rent, then you rent. If it's cheaper to buy, then that's what you would do. So based on that, if you're living in a place where it is a viable option to rent a house, you can't demand for tzedakah to do more than that. But in a place where that's simply not practical, there are no rental units, or renting simply doesn't make financial sense, then already Dei Machzor could conceptually be to buy an Ani a house. Now on top of that, the Shevet HaLevi adds that where are they buying this apartment? You can buy in the heart of Yerushalayim, or you can buy in, you know, in the Shtachim. You can buy in much cheaper neighborhoods. Now, to tell a person to move out, for example, whatever rent is in Yerushalayim, I presume rent in Afghanistan is much cheaper. Now, no one's going to say, move to Afghanistan, I'll pay for your ticket, and I'll give you $2 a month, and that will pay for rent. That's not Dei Machzor. He has to live in a normal place. Now, that being said, the person needs to be in a place where there are frum people around. That is probably Nichlal in Dei Machzor. Above that, for him to say, I want Badafka this neighborhood and not that neighborhood, that the Shevet HaLevi says in general is not Dei Machzor. Again, there are exceptions, but in general that would not be Dei Machzor, and it would have to be just the cheapest area where a person can live a normal lifestyle. Shevet HaLevi also adds, how big is this apartment? There may be a Dei Machzor to need shelter, but if the Chasan Kala decide they need a six-room apartment on a penthouse with a nice view, that certainly is not Dei Machzor, that's Moisrois, and that would not be included. Now, in Lamaisa, there's another Cheshbon, and that is, very often, the Dei Machzor is not because for the Chasan Kala. Very often, the Dei Machzor is that the father will not be able to marry off his daughter if he doesn't get an apartment or get a place for them to live. So in that case, the Dei Maksoire is not that if an Ani comes to you and says, please buy me a house, you have to buy them a house. The Dei Maksoire may be, if you, in order to marry off your daughter, this is what needs to be done, then that would become a Dei Maksoire. Now, you don't have to like the system. You can say it shouldn't be done, and why was this system set up like that? But if that is the bottom line reality, this is what it takes to marry off a daughter, then that already would become a Dei Maksoire, and they would have the right to go around and collecting staka for whatever that minimum Dei Maksoire is. And this actually leads to a very somewhat sensitive question. Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, and it's really come from a Hesoiris HaTshuva in Ebenezer Siman Dalet, has the following question. You have a person, his daughter reached the age that she's in Shaduchim, and you read two possible Shaduchim. One of them is a nice, fine Yorei Shemayim. He's not an Amoret. He's a fine Ben Torah. And for him, he has very, very minimal needs. You'll be able to make the chasana. You won't have to go ahead and collect tzedakah for it. On the other hand, your daughter was also read the best Bachar in Panovich. And this shidduch, if you go through with this shidduch, they're already, you're going to have to provide a higher level of support. And you're going to have to actually collect tzedakah. So what is that halacha? Do you have a chiyuv to do the more expensive one? Are you allowed to do the more expensive one? What are the gedarim? So the Hesoiris HaTshuva, again, it's in Siman Daled Paskins. He says it depends. You have if the two chasanim, but again, they're both Yorei Shemayim, and the other one's not an Am Aretz, but he's just not on the same level. But if you by doing that shidduch, you won't have to collect tzedakah. There he says, to go ahead and say, I want the best Bachar in Panovich, and therefore collecting staka. He says, that you're not allowed to do. However, your situation is that regardless, you're not going to be able to pay for the chasim. But it's a question, are you going to have to raise $5,000 or $50,000? There already the halacha is going to be different. Once you're anyway collecting staka, once you're already relying on the tzibur, and it's a question of just how much, then if this is the mitzvah min al-mubchur, he says you have the right to collect more and do what you consider the better shidduch. But if you're able to avoid it completely, there he says you have a chiyuv to do so. Now Yitzchak Zilberstein points out, and it's Mestama Pasha, that this is only if both shidduchim could work for your daughter. If for her she needs a certain type of bachar, and therefore the other one won't work, that's clearly not a Dei Maksoire. But in a case where both could work, that is the psak of the Hesoiris HaTshuva. Now another very common is that very often people will come around collecting. And it'll come out that some of the funds that the person's collecting, he goes to Uman every year. Perhaps a few times a year. Is that called Dei Maksoire? So it's interesting, I had spoken to one person who had asked a Litvish Paisik. And his reaction is, what are you talking about? I'd love to go to the Kaisel. I can't afford to. If an Ani comes to you and says, listen, I really haven't been to the Kaisel in 5 years. Please pay me for the ticket. He says, it's partial, it's not Dei Maksoire. You don't have to give him. And if he's doing it, you don't have to give him stock. I posed the question to another Paisik, who's coincidentally Hasidish. And his reaction was, I don't understand the shaila. If you have an Ani who has legal problems, and he's being prosecuted. So he goes ahead, and he hires a top lawyer. Are you going to tell me that now, you hired such a, I don't like that lawyer. That's not Dei Maksoire. Vada not. That's Dei Maksoire. That's what he needs. He needs to stay out of jail. He needs to win the case, and that's clearly Dei Maksoire. So if a person needs to go to Uman to spend a few dollars to find the right lawyer, the right advocate for him, he said, it's pashut, that is Dei Maksoire, there's no shayla, and you could give tzedakah. Dei Maksoire, and that would be awesome. Now, the Meiri does point out, and this is, we've gone through, for example, Dei Maksoire, that we've had cases where the person can demand aged wine and fine meat, that may be Dei Maksoire. The Meiri says, and it's really based on those Gemaras, that if you see an Ani, and he seems to be living an extravagant lifestyle, he says, it's usher to jump to conclusions. Because it is very likely this is Dei Maksoire. So if you see, like in the Gemara's case, something extreme with these fancy tablecloths, which is not a Dei Maksoire, so good. So the once you've established his Oramai, you don't have to give him any longer. But in the absence of that proof, if you have someone who is known to be an Ani, But now you have some questions about how come he's living this kind of lifestyle. Miri says, until you know that it's truly a problem, you have to assume he is an Ani, and you would still have to give him stucco. Be a factor. A lot to cover. Now, so Mechaber in Siman Reish Nun, after saying the halacha of Dei Machzor, Mechaber says the following halacha. Ani ha-machzor al-psachim, an Ani that's going from door to door, ei noisnin loy mi-hakupa matana meruba. You don't give him from the kupa, from the tzedakah funds, a matana meruba. Now, really, if you think about it, this whole shiur of Dei Machzor should create a problem. Over the past week, someone probably knocked on everyone's door. They probably were collecting for a medical expense, for a chasana, whatever it was. So if we go with Dei Machzor, you should have asked the person, okay, how much did the chasana cost? Okay, you need $20,000. Cut a check for $20,000. Now, probably that's not what the people that's not what most people do. Why not? What happened to the chiv of Dei Machzor? So over here we have an important halacha. The Mechaber paskins, and it's basically Gemara and Bava Basra and Daf Tes, that the chiv of Dei Machzor is you have an ani, you have a neighbor, you know he's falling apart in hard times. He has an expense that came up. He lost his job, and he has a need. So Dei Machzor says, give him what he needs to fill that need. Zakta Mechaber, Ani Hamasra Al-Psachim. You have an Ani that's going door to door begging. He's collecting funds from the public. There the halacha is different. There, A Noistin Loi Meakupa Matana Meruba, Ela Matana Muetas. You do not have a Chiyiv to give a Matana Meruba, which you certainly don't have a Chiyiv to give Dei Machzorai. It's a question exactly what Matana Meruba, Matana Muetas means. But if he's going door to door, he's traveling from city to city, any given person doesn't have an obligation to give him Dei Machzor. The Gabbai, everyone has to give a small amount, a matana muetas, and that way, collectively, his needs will be met. But the chiyuv is not mutal on the Gabbai or one person because he's going door to door, because he's going to multiple people, so we just have to make sure that collectively his needs are met. Now, there's no shear how much you have to give each person who knocks on the door. But what's clear, and the Shevet Levi is the one that speaks this out most clearly, but what's clear is that he still is entitled to the Machzor. At the end of the day, we have to make sure that after all his going around collecting, whether it comes to Muncie and Lakewood, wherever his travels are, at the end of the day, his chesroinus are met. So the Gabbai in any given city doesn't have to cut the check, but each person has to give enough that collectively the Aniyim's needs will be met. What it means is that tzedakah is kefi memoinoi. In a case where the person is not machzor al psachim, in a case where, you know, it used to be that tzedakah was taken care of by a gabbai. You had a city, you had aniyim, you had ashirim, you had beinim. The gabbai tzedakah was responsible to make sure that the aniyim's needs were met. So what they would do is they would figure out at the beginning of the year, this is the amount of aniyim we have, this is the amount we're going to need from the city throughout the year. They would impose a tax on the entire city. It would be based on how much money each person had. The wealthy paid more, the people who had less paid less, and they would collect everything they needed for the aniyim throughout the year. And that way, every time an ani came to a gabbai, the gabbai gave him Dei Machzor, and it was in a way, a very simple setup. That system already started breaking down in times of Rishonim. The Rashba talks about it, how the gabbai, the kehila was not able to raise enough money. There were fewer ashirim, there were greater amounts of aniyim, the needs were greater, and they weren't able to raise enough funds. So the aniyim were forced to go to door to door. Now, in such a case, everyone has to take into account how many other people are going to give, what the aniyim will get from someone else, and collectively you have to make sure the needs will be met. Someone who has more money should be giving more, because if everyone's donation is maxed out at $18, then the person's Dei Machzor is not going to be met because many, many people are not going to give that amount. So it's very difficult to come up with a number, but it has to be enough that collectively at the end of the day, when the Ani finishes with everything, with the programs, with that door-to-door, with all of his collecting, he will end up with Dei Machzor, he'll end up with his needs.
Necessary, and based on the fact that you can go to the five or
You have to make a quick cheshbon. I don't know that it's possible to do it in any scientific way to figure out what his needs are. But there are some general rules. What does come out, in Svara at least, is sometimes someone comes to your door and you see he's a tichtiga fellow, he knows the malacha, he knows how to pull out money, and he's going around from here to traveling the world. Sometimes someone comes and he's looks more like a schlepper, he doesn't have that charisma, you don't really feel like giving him all that much, you want to get... It comes out of al-pi cheshbon, that person, you really have a greater chiyuv than the first person. Because if the idea is, at the end of the day, their needs are met, someone who you have more confidence will be able to raise more elsewhere, so you have to give him something, but there's less of a tzairich. Someone who you have your doubts whether he's going to make it, there's a much greater chiyuv of day machzari to make sure that collectively he ends up with what he needs. So that really leads us to a next question. What happens if you have a neighbor, you have a friend who fell upon hard times? He's not going door to door. He comes to you for help. So there should be a chiyuv de machzor, because he's not going door to door. He came to you. So over here we have the psak of the Rama. We're going to go back to now Sif Aleph. It says, V'nira, he's going back in the halach of de machzor, the kol zeh begabai tztoko irabim v'yachar. The chiyuv of de machzor is only on a gabai. A gabai knows someone needs money, he wasn't machzor al-psakim yet, the gabai has to give de machzor. Oi, rabim v'yachar. If you have the public which is together, collectively they have to make sure each ani gets de machzor. Aval ein ha-yachid m'chuyiv litein l'ani de machzor. A yachid, an individual, even if he's approached quietly, or he knows about one particular person, the Rama paskins he does not have a chiyuv to pay the entire day machzorei. Elo meidia tzaroi l'rabim. What you always have the option, if you know that you have a chaver that needs money, he says you don't have a chiyuv of day machzorei because you can be meidia tzaroi l'rabim. You can tell other people. You can call up other people who have money or are able to give. And then collectively, the Rabban will provide the Dei Machzorah. So Dei Machzorah is not a chiyuv that any specific person has. It's a chiyuv on the tzibur. If there's a gabai that's in charge of tzedakah for the whole city, he's the one that makes sure that they get the Dei Machzorah. If there's no gabai, and the person's machzor al-psachim, so everyone collectively gives their share so that collectively they get the Dei Machzorah. If he's not machzor al-psachim, if he comes to an individual, via the Ramah Paskins, the Baal Bayis has the right to say, I'm going to tell other people, and that way everyone together will give Dei Machzorei. I don't personally have an obligation to cut a check for the entire amount. Now, the Tztako Mishpat is Mesupik. What does this mean? Does this mean that you can tell the Ani to be Machzor al Psachim? Or does it mean no? And it's really true that the Mashmoyos of the Lashon is that the Baal Bayis that's approached for Tztako has the right to say, I'm going to be Mediyat Tzair L'Rabim. I'm going to host a parlor meeting. And together, the Rabban will cover your expenses. But what it sounds like is that it's the Baal Bayis' responsibility to make sure that everyone knows about it, or people who have the ability to help. And once they know about it, then collectively they will give the Dei Machzorei, they will take care of him. But it does come out that in a case, as far as in the Hilchus Kedima, which again, Hilchus Kedima is we'll have to we'll discuss in detail in a future share, but probably the best case of tzedakah is when you know someone, when it's a friend, it's a neighbor, someone who you know needs tzedakah, they're not yet at a point where they're machzor al-psachim, they're not holding by begging, they're not holding by going to the organizations. But in that case, you have a greater chiyuv of day machzorei. You have this right, according to the Ramah, to get other people involved, to get other people so that you're not sharing, you're not shouldering the burden alone. But in such a case, there is a chiyuv of Dei Machzorei to make sure that his needs are taken care of. And therefore, in such cases where it's you know about it, it's a friend, it's someone who you have shayichus to, he is not yet going around, that is the greatest chiyuv of Dei Machzorei to make sure that he's taken care of. The next halacha, the Mechaber passes like this. Isha Shabbal Inaseh, if a lady comes to get married, lo yifchesu lo mignun zuz. You can't give her less than 50 zuz. V'im yesh bikis, and if the tztaka fund has additional funds, mefaris emaisa lefik foida. You give her based on her kavod. You give her based on what her standards are. So there's a minimum, 50 zuz. If you have more, if the stock of fund is full, it's flush with cash, then you give based on what her needs are. Now this halacha needs an explanation. We just finished saying that the gabbai tzedaka has a chiyuv de machzor. The gabbai tzedaka has to make sure they have the ani has based on what their needs are. So what is this minimum of 50 zuz? The halacha should be that if they need to marry off a young lady, they should give de machzor whatever her tzrachim are. So it comes out there are two separate chedushim in this halacha. The first halacha is that, and this the Ran is mitzadid and it's Mordechai passings like this, that when we're setting a minimum of 50 zuz, this means even if the kupa stoka is broke, there's nothing in it. There's a chiyuv on the gabai to borrow money to give to the ani. But when you're borrowing money, there you don't have to borrow money for the day machzor. There, the gabai, there's this minimum 50 zuz, that's the minimum that the gabai tzedakah, that the tzibur, they have to go into debt to cover. More than that, if she wants day machzoroi, so that depends. If there's money in the account, day machzoroi, that's the chiyuv, that's what you give to them. But to actually go into debt and to borrow money to pay for the chasana, that you don't have to provide a day machzoroi, that you have to just give this minimum amount. The Michlis Pitim seems to argue in this halacha. Let's go through that first. Michlis Pitim has a case where he's also discussing a person has a limited amount of funds, and he has two choices. He can give the ani de machzorei, but he gives de machzorei, he's gonna wipe out his ma'aser account, and he's not gonna have any money for any other ani. Or he can give a small amount to each ani. What comes first? So Michlis Pitim paskins that he should not give all of his money to one person, day machzoroi. He should give a little bit to each person. So the Michlis Pitim says, because you don't want to turn down anybody, and because other people, there's a chiyuv to give everyone at least something, this day machzoroi is extra when you can afford. But if you can't afford to, you give each person a little amount. Now what about, that Michlis Pitim is talking about an individual. What about a gabbai tzedakah? We just finished saying there's a chiyuv day machzoroi. Then ani comes, his machzoroi is he needs meat, you have to give him meat. And ani comes, his day machzoroi is he needs a stallion to ride on, he needs a slave to run in front of him, that's what you give it to him. What happens if the gabbai person comes, his day machzoroi he needs $10,000. The gabbai tzedakah looks at his account, and he sees there's exactly $10,000 in the account. Does he give him day machzoroi? Or do you say no? I'm going to need these funds for the future. Zog de Meiri, the gabbai tzedakah has to give the day machzor. As medayik, this halacha, that if you don't have money, you give 50 zuz, that means you have to borrow. In yesh bekis, if the communal fund has the money in the account, mefaras on the fikvoy, the zog de Meiri, you don't worry about the future. Right now, there's chiv day machzor. Right now, you have to use whatever funds you have to give to pay that day machzor. What will be in the future? So in the future, you'll have to raise more funds. Now, this Miri seems to be contradict the Minchas Pitim that we just said, that we have a choice between the two. You shouldn't give it all day machzor. You should save some for the future. But l'char you can be machalik, the Minchas Pitim is talking about an individual. As we said before, the individual generally does not have the obligation of day machzor. That's an obligation on the tzibur. So if there's a gabbai tzedakah that has the ikur chiyuv of day machzoroi, so if right now he has the money to pay day machzoroi, he has to use the money. Tomorrow there'll be more needs. Tomorrow he'll go back to the public. He'll raise more funds. But for an individual who doesn't have that luxury, he has a limited amount of funds. This is what he has. This is what he's mechuyev to pay out. This is what he can afford. So for him, it's more important to make sure that everyone gets at least something, and you shouldn't give it all to one ani. Now the truth is, yesh lodoin today, can you force a gabbai tzedakah to follow this halacha? Can an ani force a gabbai to go into debt in order to give the 50 zuz? So although I didn't see any spoken about explicitly, but the truth is the gabbai tzedakah back then had the right to force people to give tzedakah. We learned 2 weeks ago, koifin al tzedakah. If there was a need for tzedakah, they were able, Bezdin would force people to give. They would go around, based on how much money each person had, they'd be koifa. They had a way to collect it. So it's very mistavra, a guy by tzedaka that has a way to recover the money from the tzibur. He has a chiyuv to even borrow money to personally go into debt to make sure everyone gets at least this bare minimum of 50 zuz. But today, we're a gabbai, what does it mean a gabbai tztaka? He's not appointed by the tzibur. A gabbai tztaka means you have a nod, someone who is an askin who went ahead, he created an organization, he's going ahead, he raises however much he can, he does the best job that he can. But at the end of the day, he has no way to force people to be mishtatif in the expense. He has no way to at least guarantee that his debts will be covered, and therefore it's mistavra, you cannot force a gabbai tztaka to go ahead and borrow money to go into debt to pay the aniyim.